My name is Sunuk Wiprecht. I'm a Dutch designer specialized in fashion and technology. And I've been moving back and forth to and from Vienna for the last couple of years now. And recently, I invested in some Austrian fashion to be fully integrated in the Austrian culture. So as you can see here, I'm trying really hard, also with a cow. It's in the Salzburg area. Salzburg, Bad Ischl, during an Almfest, which was really nice. One of the reasons for my interest in Vienna is because you have ridiculously good ice cream here. And the other reason has to do with love. And as I already mentioned, I'm not a normal fashion designer. I'm specialized in working with microcontrollers, sensors and different outputs, and combining them in a wearable way, so garments that do something. Tech-enhanced and battery-powered. And then I'm not talking about an electronic beer hat or about a Wi-Fi detector shirt or an iPod controller t-shirt and also not drum pants. But no offense towards the creators of these magnificent devices. But this is what I often hear people say when I tell what I'm doing. I do it slightly different. I'm creating designs that turn transparent, that drip ink, supply you with cocktail shots, or that capture itself in smoke. My dresses have microcontrollers, heartbeats, and eat batteries for dinner. As you can see here, most of the electronics and technology I try to put and place outside of the body so you can see the layout of the design. So you can see in one view how the system is working. I like to do that. These designs flirt or interact with you like humans do and get frustrated when you get too close in their personal space. They need attention and regular checkups to survive, and exposure to heavy rain can give them a short circuit ticket to robot heaven. I started my first fashion design study when I was 14 years old, but I got slightly bored on the way. My fabrics didn't talk to me, and I started to create fabrics and garments that communicated a certain kind of artificial behavior. I got interested in robotics and mechanic movement and created prototypes of surfaces that started to wobble and move upon approach or blink and lighten up when getting attention using little motors and light pulsation at that time coupled to radio transmitters and receivers to experiment with. I confused my teachers at that time, and I got even kicked out actually the first year of my art school because I was for their taste, too much busy with electronics and too much researching my new found love for electronics. Which I didn't give up because I stayed in art school at that time and I stayed doing what I did until now. So that's good, a good thing. In 2006, I started to work with a microcontroller Arduino, which most of you will know, an open source electronic prototyping platform that performs as a little computer. I moved at that time to Sweden to do a course in body interface and interaction design at the Malmö University, where I hope I pronounce his name right, David Kuartiles. He's one of the creators of Arduino, teached at that time, so that caught my interest. So I moved there to play around in his course. And I started to combine sensors with accessories and applying them on moving objects to see what they can do. And from that point, I never wanted to go back to creating normal fashion. And in the next slides, I will explain some of the works that I did and how I did them, some background information and some movies explaining the materials that I use. This is Intimacy. It's a project from 2009-2010 that I developed for Studio Roosgaarde. It's a series of dresses based on a special e-foil that turns transparent when being approached. And the dresses breathe softly from a dark to a lighter state and back. And as soon as you come near to the wearer or to the design starts to breathe faster. They have their own customized designed control boards and run on a small battery pack, so it's all wearable. We use a PDLC foil, which stands for polymer dispersed liquid crystals, used for example security glass, but it's a flexible version developed for this project. It's from a Russian company, and it's always interesting if you're approaching companies for new projects, because this company, for example, is using it inside security glass for a reason, to protect the material, of course. So if you go up to a company to ask for the material outside of its casing, it's slightly weird for them, but mostly as soon as they see the end product, as they see what you do with it, then they're very surprised with that. And often also they start to experiment themselves what they can do with this material, having it as flexible and as thin, but still having the secured casing to have some layered plastic or such a surface. So it's really interesting for certain businesses. On this picture, you can see the different states of the foil, slightly here, the dark, light, dark, and also the different states of one of the dresses. This is one of the first prototypes, Intimacy Black, which has more an architectural form. The dress that I just showed is the latest version. It has a leather base, and the foil you see at the above side. The foil consists of liquid crystal droplets that are dispersed in a solid polymer matrix. The resulting material is a polymer with a Swiss cheese surface, so with holes inside, in where liquid crystal drops fill the holes. These tiny droplets are responsible for the unique behavior of the material. And by changing the orientation of the liquid crystal molecule, with an electric field, it is possible to vary the intensity of transmitted light. And in the next video, you can see me adjusting the voltage, letting an electric current flow over the foil. And some stuff underneath. And this is another movie where you can see a layered, more layered poses. I must say, you can't bend the material that much, so that's slightly a pity. Because then you can start to see these darker spots in between. And it's non-reactive afterwards. And these are the molecules changing under a microscope. Slightly speeded up. It's really cool stuff. Then, going back to Vienna, there's an festival existing called Roboxotka. Most of you will know about it. It happens in December, under the lead of the Monochrome crew. And I was here as an artist in residency during 2009 or 2010, I must say, I can't remember. And with me also there was Jane Tingley. She's an artist from Canada. And we were scrolling around and we had a little drink. And Johannes told us about his festival. And I was at the time working with files, with sensors, and with a system similar that we develop later. So for this festival, we had the idea of making a cocktail making robot girl, which we did. Monochrome invited us for Roboxotka. So we all came to Vienna and we started to prototype this this design. It's more exploring interaction within the field of humor interface and social interactions, in where the robotic dress is projected as a host system on the model's body, supplying the audience with a cocktail after they play a game. So we really try to get people to involve people into playing with a droid. Started with little scratches. And then we started to compile the system. It's the prototype, so we didn't test it before we created it. And the evening, I think we worked on it for 2 weeks, really sort of day and night, like most of these projects go. And yeah, the evening of Roboxotka, we presented it. What you can see is you can see sensors here in the neck, in the neck area. It has four infrared sensors all around. Because we were just playing around with, like, okay, we didn't know how much sensors we would need in the end and stuff. So we try to get as much electronics on our body as possible. So the sensors, they sense the audience. They also sense the person in front of you, and they also sense if you're standing too close to it. Then the system shuts down and you don't get a cocktail. So don't come too close to her. It works with solenoid valves, which here you can see next to there. I did investigation and I found them at Festo. They're 5 volts. So that was really easy to use for, with prototyping, recording to Arduino. And the system, it runs on a 9-volt battery. And it actually ran for a long time. We didn't have to change that evening, too much to it. It has elastomer pumps, normally used in for pain control devices. So, yeah, basically we just got a bunch of medical stuff together with sensors and, valves. To create this design. And then we prototyped it at Roboxotica, which was really successful, for which we got, I think, the best interaction award. I'm not sure about that, but it was cool. Of course, there's all the other cool robots there. I think there were 20, 21 that evening, and I was really surprised. It was really, really, really cool festival. We let him have it for that evening.
Okay.
She didn't take the time to
It was really boxy. At that time, I was prototyping. We also wanted to make really boxy, to make really sort of robotic vibe. So that was the test case. Then we got invited for Electra Festival because it went over through certain channels in Canada. So Alain Thibault, he invited us to come over to Canada. So again, we had 2 weeks of really intensive day and night work to create the second version of the Daredroid, which is more organic. So it got out of its boxy shape and it got more organic vibe to it. The front piece we 3D printed, which I didn't do before, so it was really interesting to be busy with that kind of stuff. Also, we made some adjustments regarding to the system. We didn't need it for infrared sensors, so we used two instead, and some other stuff. So here you can see us busy with it. The materials that we use for the castings is dragon skin, which is a silicone. Which molds really, really nice with a design. It can be slightly heavy, but it looks cool. And this is the front piece in which the cocktail got mixed together. This is the Daredroid at festival and some interaction photos and final photo shoot. It's a little bit more alien-like.
The Daredroid is a biomechanic cocktail-making dress that uses medical technology, customized hardware, and human temperament to provide you with a freshly made cocktail. The human host and robotic dress work together to provide you with a cocktail in exchange for a game of truth or dare. The robotic performance playfully transgresses and explores human interaction in public spaces and inverts the normal social experience by asking people to reveal personal information. Your presence allows the technological system to dispense non-alcoholic liquid, and your willingness to play a touchscreen-based game of truth or dare, combined with your natural charm, triggers the decision to give you more than just juice. Breach the intimate space of the human host, and the system shuts down. Play the game, and be rewarded. Do you dare to play?
really interesting, yeah, what you can do according to social interactions, how the model is intimidating the guests at certain events, or how things are played. Sometimes the data is really breaking barriers within social environments, especially if it's like English. So that was really interesting to experience. And that's a little photo of the team that is missed now in Vienna, because they both moved to Canada and left me here. So I'm slightly sad. And last month, the Dareboard got published in Wired magazine, which was cool to see, under the name Play, which is soothing to the project. So that was nice. The Dareboard came out of the system what I mentioned before that I compiled in, it was 3 years ago as part of an artist in residency. It's Pseudomorphs. It's an it's a dress that is coloring itself. I was fascinated by the idea of the drop of ink in water, and I wanted to create a dress that is painting itself. I'm always making artist impressions, because first you want to know what you are going to make, and then you're going to see what you need to create that, of course. So my investigation went to what I said before, to the solenoid valves and solenoid valves of Festo that I used, that run on five volts. We created a custom board for it, also 9-volt battery, so wearable, and it's lasting for a long time. It's not much power consuming, and it's very light. I always put the electronics in back pieces, because you need to store it somewhere, and you need to store it in a nice manner. So for example, here the board is placed. I like to show the electronics, because one thing that I don't like about robots and robotics is that the electronics are always inside and you can never see them, and there's always a bunch of cool stuff inside, so I want to project it outside of the body instead. And so you can see the solenoid valves. Again, it works with the pumps going to the system, and the system is controlling the solenoid valves, and then it's going through to the front. It was it was directly after my study at that time, I think. So it was one of the first projects that I did after that. But I like the way that I also work with LEDs, but it's always very controlled, and I like to design towards more uncontrolled surfaces and uncontrolled systems, because I think it's more it can be slightly more poetic. What was fun is that I got a call that they want to use the concept of Pseudomorphs in Los Angeles. Only they didn't do it they did it over the top, sort of. So for this is, there are really big cases with paint inside being compiled, and big pressure pumps to spread the oil-based ink out of the tubes, which was a big mess in the studio, and a lot of waste of colors. But the effect was cool. And I also, through the same stylist, I did a Super Bowl in 2011 from Los Angeles in Texas for the Black Eyed Peas. For which I created an outfit that is based on LEDs, but I wanted to try to create also a little bit more an uncontrolled effect. I made an outfit inspired on American football piece, a chess piece. So we took a cast of her body, a 3D scan actually, in collaboration with Tom Tellman from Walt Disney Studios, Because, of course, yeah, you want to sculpt and you want to sculpt on a real body to, yeah, create a sort of harness that really fits to it. And you don't want to have somebody standing there for hours and hours. So they took a 3D scan of her body and, yeah, we started to sculpt on that to create a piece. I worked with Swarovski, so it's layered with Swarovskis, which was really cool because what we didn't know before is that, of course, these LEDs, they need a good heatsink, and because of the winds flowing through the Swarovskis, yeah, it functions as a sort of a big heatsink. That's always nice if you're having a problem and then the solution is already embedded.
It's happening at the same time.
It's worse.
This was the chess piece fully on.
Yeah, it is.
In light.
Yeah.
Because of course you want to have it visible according to all the stage lights that Super Bowl has. That's the little dog. That I still need to cut out. This is another prototype that we started to work with to create a light dress, but the electroluminance, the luminex that we used wasn't good on stage, what I mentioned before, so you couldn't see it. So it was good that we really focused on a good behavior of the LEDs of the chess piece, so you could really see it. But I integrated it in the shoes.
And walk!
Oh, I have to put the sound out.
The other side.
But it was a pity that the effect of the shoes you couldn't see.
Great.
But the effect of the chess piece you could. And I never felt this way before, and I swear this is true, and I owe it all to you. So that was nice to see your blink. And of course, always, if you're working with electronics, first of all, it always works the last 5 minutes before performance. That's slightly interesting. And the second is that you're just, yeah, holding your breath until it works, and then you're happy. Then you can be happy again. But in a way, I always like that kind of rush, the sleepless nights, and then the adrenaline that comes with it. And this is a new project. That's the smoke dress in collaboration with Adouan de Riba, a collaborator from the Netherlands. And we're working with a wearable smoke device, which is 630 grams that can be placed on the body. And is creating a sort of a spare dress or space around the body. So that's in development. And as you can see, I'm fascinated with what happens when you merge technology with fashion and put a human in it. I did my research during university on the topic of electronics as extension of the body, and did a lot of experimentations with uncontrolled interfaces, which I mentioned before. I graduated with a collection research research based on sensitive sensory and reactive objects, materials and interfaces that I called at that time technosensual. And that is something that I worked on the last year. That's the technosensual exhibition. The relationship between the body and technology is closer than ever since designers, artists, scientists, and engineers started combining their practices at the beginning of the century. And with every passing day, we are weaving electronics more tightly into the fabric of our physical world. Electronic systems can now be layered seamlessly into a material or substrate, such as plastic or polyester, as you could see. Embedded processors and sensors for transmitting and receiving information create a vision of cultural transformation that is both exciting and disturbing. Because, of course, do we want to place these creatures on the body? We shape technology, but technology also shapes us. And that is how Technosensual, where fashion meets technology, exhibition evolved, that took place over the last 2.5 months. Here in Museumskwartier, in the Vrijraum of Kwartier 21 International, in collaboration with a project partner, Monochrome, which I was really happy with, and it was a really good collaboration. It's an exhibition about electronic couture, in where interaction is one of the main topics provided. And I will end my talk by taking you through some slides regarding to the exhibition. We had over 32 artists represent and more than 23 artworks. 25 actually with the last two pieces that are made that were made as artists in residencies by Pauline van Dongen and Koba Kant. It all started with collaboration, the design started with collaboration with Mostaim University in Salzburg, which is a university, and they have specialization in stage design that I got in contact with. And with I gave a few lectures about electronic couture and about the things that I had in mind, and we started to develop with the students some ideas. And eventually we picked two ideas. One is by Anna Schutel, that is the white part, and then there's a black part made by Susanne. So these are pictures of the space in the beginning. So it's a maquette, and of course then it needs to go to a bigger space. I know the Freiraum for several years because I've been, what I said, going to Vienna back and forth, and I wanted to do something else with the Freiraum, so that was the main idea, to really involve it, to really create something different out of it, to explore more possibilities and to break the space. These are walls within. They are normally, I think you guys know the Freiraum, they're glass cabinets, glass spaces there, and we cover them totally with a black wall that was going through the space as a snake. Okay, this is another picture. I want to put this in later, but some of the artworks arrived. That was interesting. Sometimes, you're in contact with artists and with companies. And I was in company with Philips, who delivered me the Bubel dress, who was in the exhibition as one of the main pieces. And I was talking to Rogier, and I asked him some information, but he was busy, he's always traveling around and this and that, and he said to me Anouk, it's gonna be fine and blah de blah. And I was asking him about dimensions and measurements, and he said it's gonna be fine, you don't have to worry, it's a small thing. So then you're coming in a space and you're asking hey, where's Bubel, if the transportation is there, and then it's right in front of you, and it's 2.5 by 2.5. So that was slightly unexpected, but that was the first artwork that we impact for the exhibition, which was standing at MQ because it was so huge, it was so big, so we couldn't put it inside. And with that the exhibition started, the build-up started. All the designs have specially made, customized spares for them to fit in, because some of the designs have are interactive, so some of the people need to approach designs, and some should be watched from more distance. So it's to create distances or to create intimacy towards the designs and the visitors. These are some images of the space later on, and these are fisheye pictures made by Florian Wieser, who did a great job of capturing the space with its organic organic shape and visual. I don't know how you say that. So this is the Freiraum from the backside, and this is the black snake that goes through the room. Then some of the artworks. These are 3D printed shoes by Pauline van Dongen, who was also the artist in residency of the month August. And it's really why I really like them, is they're really organic, and it's a good way to show visitors that come to the exhibition what can be done with 3D prints and 3D printing. And these shoes are walkable. Her models have been walking on them. I don't know exactly about the comfort of the shoes, but they look pretty, and you can walk on them. I've seen it. So some of the designs are captured in the more dark space. So we had some works with ferrofluid, for example, this work and other works. And the other works that are more enlightened, they're based in the bigger space. This is the Holy Dress of Melissa Coleman and Leonie Smelt, which is a dress that is reacting on focal tension. So if you put your hands on the interface and you speak to the dress and you would tell a lie, then you get electrocuted. You get an electric shock. That's one of the nice designs. Then this is a cute one. It's also made as an artist in residency work. It's a dress that, that starts to wobble and shake as soon as you give it attention. It has a little, mirror. So if you take the mirror, it's responding to its gesture. This is Body Speaker. I'm not going to point out all the designs that were in the exhibition, but it's a piece by Carina van Heck. And it's a nice piece. I've seen it at a performance. Basically, it's recording your body sound. So it's recording your heart, the sound you make if you swallow with your throat and your tummy sounds. And she has a little casing in which she remixes her body sounds. So the performer is remixing her body sounds. And it's a cool one. It's more performative piece. These are lay sensor dresses that hang in the space. It's one of the works that is also interactive. So people can come up, they put hand gloves on, and they can listen to the sounds. It's embroidered with a conductive thread, poems made out of a conductive thread. And you could listen through the interface what the dresses were telling to you or what the dresses wants to tell you. This is what I talked about before, one of the artists in residencies. We had from December 2011 until August artists around that produced in total 8 designs for the Technosensual exhibition. And here you see Daniel Schatzmeier and Philippe working on or working for Pauline, her project, which is based on flip dots, 600 of them. So there was a lot of wiring. It was a really interesting project. And it got presented at the end symposium at the 29th of August. So there it was working. This is a piece by Bokemir Dordinger and Rijn Vollinga, which works on ferrofluid. It was a reactive installation. And that was standing in the Technosensual exhibition. And the funny thing with this installation was that the opening happened at the 14th of June, and the day after I was still slightly in my sleepy mode, so not totally awake, and I had to lead a group of 30 students or 30 kids through the space to give a little tour. And of course the opening was the day before, so I was not fully awake yet. And I came into the space and I saw people walking around with black fingers. And it didn't really occur to me what it was or such a thing until I thought it might be the ferrofluid. So I think it's really, people want to touch it because ferrofluid, it's a magnetic ink, and it's, there are in the box that you see underneath it, there are magnets that are pushing the ink up. So it's reacting, and it's also wobbly, so people want to touch it, and that's what happened. So we had to close it down in a way of putting a little rope there so people couldn't come that close by. And such things you learn from during the run of an exhibition if you're working with interactive installations, which I thought was really interesting. So we did a lot of adjustments, and especially me and Daniel have been running around the first weeks a lot there. But which was nice because it was a nice exhibition. And this is also at the opening was slime performance of Bart Hess, which became a big stain in the exhibition. It lasted until the end, which is also the main image of the Technosensual identity or the flyer. And I'm going to close down with a little movie made by Faux Fox about the exhibition, because you can have a little bit an overview also regarding to the interactions that happened. And they did a good job at capturing a little bit of the atmosphere. think that's enough. So my talk was less about reverse engineering maybe, but I hope to have inspired you a little bit on this Friday afternoon, and yeah, have much fun at Paraflows.